Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Man, turning your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we are in a series entitled Dream Again, and I want you to know something. This is so much more than a series. I believe this is the word of the Lord for our church. I believe it's the word of the Lord for us for 2018, that we are to dream again, that there are some dreams, some things, some places in our life that that maybe we've written off, some things that have died, and God wants to resurrect those things. And he wants us to begin to dream again. He wants to speak to those things that aren't yet as though they are and begin to cause you to dream again. So we started this series, and once again, so much more than a series. Really believe it's the word of the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 17, this whole entire passage has been really, I think, one of my life scriptures. I go back to it often because it's so powerful. The imagery that is in there and the narrative that unfolds is just so awesome. And I go back to it time and time again, and it just speaks to me. And so we started just looking at this chapter about 4 weeks ago, and we'll be in it for a lot longer because there's so much in it, and it's so good because I believe God wants us to dream again. And you know, the things with dreams is when we were younger, we had a million of them a minute. I mean, dreams, the one thing we did not lack when we were younger is dreams. And we would dream about what we were going to become. We would dream about who we would marry. Right? And we dream about all these things. And yet life has a way. As you grow up, life has a way of knocking the wind out of you, knocking the dreams out of you. And here's what happens when so many of those dreams get knocked out of us. Here's what happens. What happens is we begin to stop dreaming. Because we saw so many of those dreams not come to fruition. Saw some of those dreams not come to pass. And so what happens is we actually stop dreaming. And I believe that's one of the things that the enemy would love for us to do. He would love for us to stop dreaming. But yet God is saying, this is our year. Now is our time, Canvas Church. Let's begin to dream again. And let's dream some big dreams in him. Are you with me this morning? And so in 2 Kings chapter 4, it's one that I go back to often that encourages me, especially in the ideas of what do you do when a dream's dead? What do you do when it seems like a dream is over? And in 2 Kings chapter 4, what we've discovered is there is a woman. She's known as a Shunammite woman. And she is there, and she's unable to bear a son. She may have other children, we don't know, but specifically the Bible makes reference that she has no son and her husband is old. In other words, it's not going to happen. And what you need to know about this text is that back in this time, to not have a son as a woman and as a mom meant that you would not have anyone to protect you, to care for you, or carry on the family business or lineage. And so for her not to have a son wasn't just like, well, I don't have a son. It really meant that I don't have a protector. I don't have someone that's going to keep me safe and keep this thing going. And so this was a big deal. But one of the things that she found out is there was a man of God that would come into her town. And it was a prophet, an Old Testament prophet. And some things about Old Testament prophets is that they're not just people that heard a word from God and delivered a word from God to the people. They actually carried a mantle on their life. They actually carried the presence of God wherever they went. The Bible will tell us that she discovers that this is a holy man of God and that she wasn't happy with the regular passing by, and so she wanted to do something more. And so she does. And the story kind of unfolds. So I'll read it, and let's pick it up. Verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 4. And it reads, one day Elisha, that's the prophet, went to Shunem. A prominent woman who lived there persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. Then she said to her husband, I know that the one who often passes by here is a holy man of God. So let's make a small room upstairs and put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp there for him. Whenever he comes, he can stay there. In other words, we see right here in the text that the regular passing by was okay, but I want something more. That although we're going to discover that there was something dead in her, there was a dream that was over, there was a dream that was dead, although she stopped believing in that dream, she never stopped believing in the one that gives dreams. And that she literally took opportunity and took time to say, I'm going to build something for this because I don't just want the regular passings by. I want the continual. I want it to stay and I want it to rest here. Verse 11, one day he came, that's the prophet, the man of God, he came there and he stopped and he went to the room upstairs to lie down. And he orders his attendant Gehazi, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and she stood before him. Then he said to Gehazi, say to her, look, you have gone to all this trouble for us. What can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I'm living among my own people. In other words, her response is this, I'm okay, I'm good, I don't need anything. And I love this heart about this woman, because what she did is she built a place for the man to come, for the presence of God to come, but yet she wasn't necessarily looking for anything. She was just looking for the presence to be there. She wasn't looking for the presence to do anything for her. And you know, I learned something long ago, that we can never make God do things in our life. And too oftentimes we try. We think if we show up to church more, then I'll get a gold star, God will hear me, and then he will do this. You know what? Coming to church wasn't enough. I should probably jump on the ministry team, which you should. And we think that if we serve enough, then maybe God will notice all that I'm doing and he will do something for me. And then all of a sudden we're like, you know what? That's not really working. Maybe I need to tithe. And you should. And so you start giving your tithes and you start tithing, and you're trying to do all these things to get something from God, or get God to do something for you. But you know what? We can never get God to do something for us. We can never make God move in our life. But what we can do is we can learn from this woman. We can make room for God to move in our life. This woman wasn't trying to get anything. She was just like, I'm going to create some space. And so she built this upper room and created a room for the man of God, and he filled it. And because he filled it, all of a sudden the blessing now starts to come forth to her life. And so don't be surprised as you continue this journey called Christianity, and you're making room for God, and you are reading your Bible, and because you're making room for God to move in your life, you are coming to church because you see the value in that and how it makes room for God in your life, and you are praying and you are beginning to serve and you're doing those things, and don't be surprised when God shows up and he begins to do something in your life that is unexpected, because you've been making room for him. And so her reply is, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. Verse 14. So he asked, then what should be done for her? I love that. I love that, because God really does want to bless you. You need to hear that this morning. God really does want to bless you. He really does have a phenomenal plan for your life. And he really does want to get it to you. He really does want to provide it for you. Listen to me, you can run from it, you can hide from it, but you know what? The mercies and the goodness of God will chase you down and they will find you. You need to hear that this morning. I mean, the man of God could have been like, okay, she's good. But he didn't stop there. He said, no, I'm going to bless this woman. You know, that's God's intent for you every morning when you wake up. God is looking for ways to bless your life. He is not looking for you to perform. He is not looking for you to do something so that you can get his attention. The minute, as you're sleeping, he is looking for ways to bless you. When you are blowing it, when you are making your bed in the pit of hell, he is still looking for ways to bless your life. He is a good God, and it's the goodness of God that leads people to a place of intimacy with him. He's a good God. I love it. So that's okay, she doesn't want nothing, but I'm going to give her something. Call her, Elisha said. Gehazi answered, well, she has no son, verse 14, and her husband is old. Verse 15, call her, Elisha said to Gehazi. Gehazi called her, and she stood in the doorway. I want you to highlight that in your mind, because we're going to come back to that. She stood in the door. She didn't walk into the room, but yet she wasn't outside of the room. She was standing in the doorway. She was in the middle. She was in an in-between spot. The Bible says she stood. It didn't say that about the first time she came, but for some reason, the Bible wanted to highlight the fact that she stood in the doorway. She wasn't all the way in and she wasn't all the way out. She was somewhere in the middle. And she stood in the doorway. And Elisha said, at this time next year, you will have a son in your arms. As a promise. This is going to happen. Okay? Then she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not deceive your servant. In other words, we can see by her response that this is something she wanted in the past. It was something she tried for in the past. It was something she longed for in the past. But for some reason, she was fruitless. For some reason, she was barren. For some reason, this dream was not obtained. And she had now reconciled that, whether in a good way or a bad way, we don't know. But she had somehow reconciled that and said, I'm going to put that away. This obviously isn't for me. So now when the word of the Lord out of the man of God comes forth, this time next year, you're going to have a son. It begins to push a spot on her. No, that dream is dead. That dream is over. I don't know if you met my husband, but he old. Right? Like, so this is not going to happen. Do not deceive me. Do not lie to me. Verse 17. The woman conceived and gave birth to a son at the same time the following year as Elisha had promised her. Come on. She stood in the doorway. She stood in the middle. She stood in the in-between place, and she had to make a decision. Am I going to receive what God is speaking to me and go after it? Or am I going to go back to what I've known? God, we thank you for your word. I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that you would speak to us and that you would speak clearly, and that as we surround ourselves now around as a community around this text, that life would come forth. And God, you would pull out the big dreams, and you would pull out the dead dreams, and you would pull out the unscripted dreams. And we begin to walk in the very purpose you have for our life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And then back in 1998, my wife and I, we felt like God was calling us into ministry. And so we were in Seattle, Washington. We were a part of a great church there called the City Church, and one of the greatest pastors I've ever met in my life outside of Pastor Tony and Cheryl Ashmore. And we were at this church, and God was calling us into ministry. And so we did what was called an internship. And as a part of this internship, you got trained for ministry and you got to go on missions trips and things. And we'd just been married for a real short amount of time when God began to speak this to us. And so we didn't have a whole lot of money. I was a valet. She was, you know, waitressing tables and stuff. And so we found out that the internship cost $4,000 each. And now, like today, you might be like, not a big deal. My car payment's that. You should probably not have bought that car. You know, $4,000 was a lot to us, you know, and so we're like, well, what are we going to do, you know? And so someone said, hey, have you ever thought about sending out some letters and just raising some support? And I'm like, no, brilliant. And so we got friends. They love us. They'll give to us, surely. And so we went and bought paper. We went and bought envelopes, and we went and bought little sticky things with our address, return address on it. We even put return envelopes with our address on it so it would make it easy for them to send the money back. And they were stamped too. That's right. So we stamped the ones we sent and we stamped the return ones. And we were like, we're going to raise money. We are going to raise $8,000. And so, man, we got all this together. I don't know how much we spent. We spent like $100 getting everything together. Like, okay, it's our last $100, but we're going to do it. And so we sent out these letters, man. And so week one goes by and we're pumped full of faith. You know, we're like, we're going to raise $8,000, and we're praying, you know, we're believing. Week two rolls around. We're like, you know what? Maybe some got lost in the mail somewhere. You know, maybe we should follow it up with phone calls. And then week three rolls around and we're kind of like, God, are you there? You ever prayed that prayer before? God. And week four rolls around and we're like, we're in depression. We raised $0 for our internship. Zero. Nothing. Nada. I don't know another word for zero, but we had nothing. All right? And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, can we get our money back that we spent on the paper and the stamps? Like, I was honestly, I found myself getting bitter at people. Like, they have a free envelope with a stamp on it. They can send it anywhere. We gave them something, actually. What happened to the verse that says, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together? Where's that verse, God? I found myself getting a little bitter. And so we're like, we don't know what we're going to do, but we found a way. And so we did that internship. And through that internship, man, God molded us and shaped us and got us ready for ministry. And through that, we took several trips down here to God's country, San Diego. Come on, somebody. And we were visiting another church and helping minister in this great church that still exists in Rancho Bernardo today. And, And we were pouring into that, and God just, we felt like God was saying, hey, you need to go to San Diego. And like, who wouldn't? We lived in Seattle, where you rust. Come on, somebody, because it rains so much. Right? Here you burn, there you rust. Same color, just different way of getting there, all right? And so God's just calling us out of the rain to the sunshine. I'm like, yes. And so sure enough, he brought us, you know, he's bringing us down here. So that would have been like 1999. And so we're like, how are we going to do this thing? I mean, San Diego ain't cheap. And so we're praying. I remember it was 28 different jobs I applied for. I applied for 28 different jobs and I got zero responses. I was starting to feel a little insecure, ladies and gentlemen. I was like, what's wrong with me? And so we're like, well, what are we going to do? So we were praying one day. And in our prayer time, we don't know if it was fully God, but we felt like God spoke to us. And some people are like, how does God speak? Now, he speaks, and we'll have to do a series on that. But oftentimes when God speaks to me, it's just like a little whisper. And you're like, what does his voice sound like? It sounded like my voice whispering in my own ear. For me, that's okay. Now, if you start hearing my voice whispering in your ear, there's a problem, all right? But it just sounded like my voice. And I felt like he was saying, send out letters. And I turned to my wife after our prayer time. I said, I think God's telling us to send out letters. And she's like, I think he's saying the same thing. And we're both like, but we've watched that movie. It doesn't turn out well, right? Like, we've been there. Like, we did this. And so we were like, oh, okay, like, we'll do it. We did this just 12 months ago, and we lost money, God. But if you're telling us to do it, I mean, we'll step out in faith, and we'll go ahead and do it. And so, again, here we went. And honestly, we were like twitching when we went to the store. Like, the Bible, we're like, I've done this before, you know? And I grabbed stamps and paper. We came back. We wrote this beautiful letter. And I think we even put another letter with it from one of the pastors at the church, you know, to make it seem more official. And we sent it out. And within 4 weeks, we raised $3,000 a month for a year. Come on, somebody. It was amazing. It was absolutely fantastic. But, you know, we had to deal with the fact that God was asking us to do something we had already done, and it was fruitless and it was barren and it produced nothing. In the text today, this woman stands in the doorway. She finds herself in the middle. She's not fully in the room. Why she wasn't in the room, I don't know. But she's not back here. She's in the middle. She's in a transition moment. And the word of the Lord comes to her and says, you are going to have a son. You are going to hold the son in your arms. In other words, the word of the Lord comes to her and says, you got to go back and do what you've been doing all along, that thing that has left you fruitless, that thing that has left you barren. Go back to that, but this time it's going to produce something. What do you do? What do you do when you are praying for God to do a new thing? Right? Doesn't it seem like in church we always want God to do a new thing? Right? You know, like every year, God's doing a new thing, brother. All right, sister, that's how you talk in church. All right? God's doing a new thing. And it's like, I have no idea what the new thing is. What's the new thing? Is it getting me a new car? You know, hope so. And not one that's $4,000 a month, right? We always want a new thing. And I know the Bible talks about, one of my favorite verses in Isaiah, behold, you know, new things I declare to you, says the Lord. And it's a great verse. But you know what? Through our human filter, when we think new thing, we don't necessarily think the product, we think the process. And so surely what we've been doing that's left us barren and fruitless, it's a new thing. We're going to completely scratch that and start all over. And let's be honest, it makes for better songs too. I don't know why, but I woke up this morning knowing what I was going to preach about, and this old song, some of you, how many of you guys have been in church for at least 20 years? I love that. Not many hands. That means some of you fresh to church. That's awesome. But there was this song. It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing is coming my way. Has anybody ever heard that song before? It's a new season, right? And that makes for so much a better song than I'm gonna do the same old thing I've been doing all along. And it's going to produce something, maybe a new song. I just made that. That was awesome, right? My wife's on the front with it. She said, do it again. I didn't get it. I got to Instagram it. I know. They got to come back for the act next week, baby. But what do you do? How do you reconcile this? When all of a sudden, here you are in this place, of the dream is over. The dream is dead. I've been down that road before and it produced nothing. And God confronts you with the word that causes you to have to go back and do the same thing you've been doing over and over and over again without any product, without any produce, without any fruit, and it still leaves you barren. How do you reconcile that? As humans, we don't know how to. It's difficult. And here she is, and she's standing in the middle. It's a transition point. I can either latch on to what he's saying, and I can believe it, and I can contend for it, and I can go after it, or I can leave the middle, and I can go back into what I've known all this time. She is in the point of transition. And things, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Something happens in the middle. Something happens as you are standing at the threshold of the door, where you are confronted with a choice. And I believe that today some of you are there right now, that you are like that woman standing in the doorway. Man, you come week after week and you hear the word of the Lord and God's speaking something specifically to you and encouraging you. You have the ability to make a decision. Am I gonna go after that, or am I gonna go back into the drama and to the dilemma and to the dysfunction I've been living in? Or am I gonna believe that dream is for me? But the problem is when God says, hey, I want you to go back and do what you've always been doing, it begins to raise up some pain. Because I went to church before. I've been to church. Matter of fact, Pastor, I'm okay just sitting in the chair. Man, the music's good. Come on, wasn't the music good today? Man. Music's good. The preaching's not bad. The preaching's not bad. Okay. I'm a little insecure there for a minute. Thank you. Preaching's not bad. But Pastor, don't ask me to serve. Because I've been there. I've done that at my last church, the last place I was at, and I served. And you know what? I got hurt. So when all of a sudden the word of the Lord comes to you and says, hey, it's time to jump in, you're like, ooh, that's painful. Pastor, I'm good. I am fine sitting in the chair. I'm fine serving in children's once a month, twice. That's good. Please just don't ask me to contribute my finances. Because I was out of church and I gave everything. I served. I was there every Sunday. Man, I was giving up my finances. And you know what? The church closed. It's not even open today. All of a sudden on a Sunday, someone's up here saying, we're going to give together today. You're like, oh, that hurts. Happens all the time in relationships, doesn't it? You know, you're dating. Looks like it's the one. It's the one. And then there's a breakup. Happens in marriage. What do you do when God says, hey, I want you to go do that again? And you see, here's the thing. Society teaches us something about that. Society tells us that doing the same thing over, here's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And so even society has bought into the idea that it's got to be a new thing. We got to do something new. We got to do something different, because if you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, you're insane. But you know what? Doing the same thing over and over and over again in the kingdom of God is called faith and obedience. It's called, I'm trusting God. It's called, I believe that he said it. I believe that I can have it. So I'm going to keep walking in faith. I'm going to keep moving forward by the grace of God. And I'm going to see it happen someday in my life. It is not insanity in the kingdom of God when he says, hey, just keep obeying. Just keep walking in faith. Just keep trusting. Just keep reading the Bible. I did that last year. The book hasn't changed. And you want me to read the Bible in a year again? It's got to be like some supplements. I've been to church. I've done small group. But you don't know. You don't know when your moment is going to come. You don't know when all of a sudden, he already called me up to the room. I've been there. He asked me about needing an army. I'm good. I don't need an army. Why is he calling me up there again? But you don't know when your moment comes, when you are standing in the middle, you are standing in the doorway of transition. And God begins to speak. And listen to me. When God begins to speak it, all of a sudden it changes from something I just want and something I desire to something he said I can have. And all of a sudden now, it's not just about wishing and hoping and wishing and hoping. It is about moving forward in faith and saying, if God said I can have it, then I'm going to lay hold of it in Jesus' mighty name. There is something about a God said. There's something about when God speaks something, everything begins to change. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning was the, that's 1 John. That's John chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to the Old Testament. It's good though, you know your Bible. Was the world, right? Was the earth, was, and it was without form. And darkness covered and hovered over the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then God said, this time next year, you are going to hold a son in your arms. What dream has died in you? What area of your life is God saying today, hey, I want you to go back to that? Oh, that's painful. That brings feelings of insecurity and feelings of disappointment and feelings of inferiority. I've already been down and God said, let there what area of your life today? I believe that 2018, church, is your year. I believe that 2018 is our year. I believe that 2018 is the year that God resurrects dreams, that God begins to speak to those things that aren't yet as though they are, that God begins to pinpoint the area in your life that you've written off and said, this is never going to happen. Man, the marriage is never going to be reconciled. Man, I'm never going to find somebody. The ministry is never going to come alive. Man, that business is never going to happen. I'll never find myself out of debt. But God is speaking to you today, and you are standing in the doorway, and you have a choice to make today. Am I going to cross the threshold into the promises of God, or am I going to go back to that place of dysfunction and despair and disappointment? I believe that today God is calling us to rise up and begin to go forward and lay hold of that for which he, Christ Jesus, has laid hold of that. If you believe that, come on, give God some praise this morning. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is living. God, your word is active. God, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I thank you that your word is coming today, God, to bring clarity to something. Do me a favor, church, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We're going to bring this thing to a close, and we're going to go out there and have some cupcakes and shake some hands and take some photos. But before we do, and I know there's some of you looking at your notes like, we didn't finish the message. It's okay. I'm going to be here next week. I'm not going anywhere. We'll be in the same theater. Hallelujah. What a great.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.